gazing at the vast pale lands below that rose so slowly to a high, vague, immense horizon. "You'll get to give the orders pretty soon, you know," she said at last quietly. "In 2 more years we won't be children anymore. We'll be 14. I'll go into the God King's temple, and things will be about the same for me. But you'll really be the High Priestess then. Even Kossel and Thar will have to obey you." The Eaten One said nothing. Her face was set. Her eyes under black brows caught the light of the sky in a pale glitter. "We ought to go back," Penthi said. "No. But the weaving mistress might tell Thar, and soon it'll be time for the 9 chants. I'm staying here. You stay too." "Well, they won't punish you, but they will punish me," Penthi said in her mild way. Arha did not reply. Penthi sighed and stayed. The sun was sinking into haze high above the plains. Far away on the long, gradual slant of the land, sheep bells clanked faintly, and lambs bleated. The spring wind blew in dry, faint gusts, sweet-smelling. The 9 chants were nearly over when the 2 girls returned. Mebeth had seen them sitting on the men's wall, and had reported this to her superior, Kossil, High Priestess of the God King. Kossil was heavy-footed, heavy-faced. Without expression in face or voice, she spoke to the 2 girls, telling them to follow her. She led them through the stone hallways of the big house, out the front door, up the knoll to the temple of Atwa and Wulua. There she spoke with the High Priestess of that temple, Thar, tall and dry and thin as the leg bone of a deer. Kossil said to Penthi, "Take off your gown." She whipped the girl with a bundle of reed canes, which cut the skin a little. Penthi bore this patiently with silent tears. She was sent back to the weaving room without supper, and the next day also she would go without food. "If you are found climbing over the men's wall again," Kossil said, "there will be very much worse things than this happen to you." "Do you understand, Penthi?" Kossil's voice was soft, but not kindly. Penthi said, "Yes," and slipped away, cowering and flinching as her heavy clothing rubbed the cuts on her back. Arha had stood beside Thar to watch the whipping. She now watched Kossil clean the canes of the whip. Thar said to her, "It is not fitting that you be seen climbing and running with other girls. You are Arha." She stood sullen and did not reply. "It is better that you do only what is needful for you to do. You are Arha." For a moment the girl raised her eyes to Thar's face, then to Kossil's, and there was a depth of hate or rage in her look that was terrible to see. But the thin priestess showed no concern. Rather, she confirmed, leaning forward a little, almost whispering, "You are Arha. There is nothing left. It was all eaten." "It was all eaten," the girl repeated, as she had repeated daily, all the days of her life since she was 6. Thar bowed her head slightly. So did Kossil, as she put away the whip. The girl did not bow, but turned submissively and left. After the supper of potatoes and spring onions, eaten in silence in the narrow, dark refectory, after the chanting of the evening hymns and the placing of the sacred words upon the doors, and the brief ritual of the unspoken, the work of the day was done. Now the girls might go up to the dormitory and play games with dice and sticks, so long as the single rushlight burned, and whisper in the dark from bed to bed. Arha set off across the courts and slopes of the place, as she did every night, to the small house where she slept alone. The night wind was sweet. The stars of spring shone thick, like drifts of daisies in spring meadows, like the glittering of light on the April sea. But the girl had no memory of meadows or the sea. She did not look up.
"Ho there, little one!"
"Manon," she said indifferently. The big shadow shuffled up beside her, starlight glinting on his hairless pate.
"Were you punished?"
"I can't be punished."
"No, that's so.
They can't punish me. They don't dare." He stood with his big hands hanging, dim and bulky. She smelled wild onion, and the sweaty, sagey smell of his old black robes, which were torn at the hem and too short for him.
"They can't touch me. I am Arha," she said in a shrill, fierce voice, and burst into tears.
The big, waiting hands came up and drew her to him, held her gently, smoothed her braided hair.
"There, there, little honeycomb, little girl."
She heard the husky murmur in the deep hollow of his chest and clung to him. Her tears stopped soon, but she held on to Manon as if she could not stand up.
"Oh, poor little one," he whispered,
and picking the child up, carried her to the doorway of the house where she slept alone. He set her down.
"All right now, little one?"
She nodded, turned from him, and entered the dark house.